flame flickers, loud noise. Hollywood magic, chaos deploys. Brad, Andy, Rust, break it down. Super fantastic in this town. Heroes, villains, all the tales. Epic journeys, dragons and whales. Chasing stories, lost and found. Films and shows all around. Super fantastic, terrific, in the air. Talking movies, Hollywood's glare. Brad, Andy, Russ got the flair. Super fantastic, terrific, everywhere.
There we go. We're going to stop right there.
There, that's good.
So that's the
new theme song.
The new theme song, the new AI-generated theme song.
Which fooled me. Which fooled me. I thought it was Andy until I heard the dragon and whales line. And then I was like,
dragon and whales?
That, way, I don't, way, that sounds way, more like way. A Greg Brady lyric than some Andy Harry Russell would have written.
Johnny Bravo wrote that.
Johnny Bravo. Unicorns and golden rainbows, or whatever he thinks about.
So welcome to Super Fantastic Terrific. This is Russ. And
I'm just Brad tonight because it's been a while.
We are just hanging out, drinking some tiki rum Mai Tais.
Yeah, Russell sent me right before we were going to podcast, my system's not working, but you can still come over and have some Mai Tais. I'm going to go, okay, well, I'm going to come over anyway. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, we'll drink Mai Tais.
We'll drink Mai Tais. So here we are, Mai Tais in hand and here to really talk about anything that comes to our mind. We're going to talk about, I had this old article about top 50 rom-coms.
Yeah, and that was probably maybe September.
Exactly.
It was so far back in the chat that I couldn't find it.
I know I was going through. I was trying to find. Okay, what are we going to talk about? And I made a document. Okay, so I made a Google Doc, and for you and Andy to let's put some topics in. I thought maybe at least you would do it.
Yeah.
No. Effing thing. Well, not a damn thing.
Because
was we put
didn't
inside.
Schedule it. We kept being like, well, let's podcast soon, and then we just didn't. But we're still alive. We're
So it's January 2025, and we're here.
We did one podcast in 2024.
Did we really?
We posted one.
When was that?
In the middle of the year. It was June or something. We finally got together and did a podcast.
God, we fucking suck.
So at least we kept it. At least we kept it one a year. So you can look forward to our podcast again next year. February.
On my podcast, catcher, that I use Pocket Cast. It says it'll say it'll look at the frequency of the podcast and tells you, expect next episode in 2 days, in 1 week.
Yeah.
It says on ours, it says, I don't think this is being produced anymore. But so we will screw up the podcast algorithm with this one.
That's the thing they say, to have a successful podcast, you have to be consistent and post all the time. And that's why, every 6-7 months we roll out a new one. With no topic.
What do you mean that's not consistent? It's literally, how long have we been doing this now? Since 2011? No,
it's got to be
2014?
Something at least that far back.
You look back and I'm like, oh my God.
I feel like we're pioneers at this point.
Not that much.
And yet you see these people that just started podcasts that are like, oh, we're on episode 200. this one podcast I listened to was a Star Wars podcast. They did it twice a week. I'm like, oh. I love Star Wars. I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Twice a week?
How can you talk about Star Wars twice a week?
I used to do,
the health one.
Yeah, the Fat to Fit Radio podcast. That was once a week for we did 6 months straight, a year straight. And then we wrote a book.
Yeah.
And then we did for another, like 4 years? Anyway, but it was that first 6 months, every week, it was such a slog.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved it.
Yeah. But then you have to you think, what is my topic for next week? I got to figure it out.
We got to come up with them. Then we had a shared documents.
Well, imagine being somebody who's on the radio for 3 hours a day, just doing a talk thing.
That's why you got to have producers. Yeah, you got to have writers. You can't come up with everything yourself. Yeah. You got to have a team of people.
And I listen to when I'm at work, because I work from home, I listen to I'll just throw on some YouTube podcasts, because that's a lot of podcasts have gone to YouTube.
So are now to me that's not a podcast.
Yeah,
a podcast has an RSS feed with enclosures, and
But a lot of these are things that were podcasts, and they just started filming it. Like Rebel Force Radio used to be just only, you know, audio, and then they just finally they jumped on the bandwagon and saw all these other people getting all these views, and they started doing like.
Did you ever listen to the Butterflies and Ninjas podcast?
Butterflies and Ninjas, no.
No, it's.
I'm intrigued though.
You know, they do a lot.
Do the butterflies fight the ninjas? I
don't understand where they. I think that's the name of the podcast. Yeah. I don't even really know because they don't actually ever say it.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, but it's a really good podcast. Yeah. Anyway, but I will put that in the background. And I find the clips on YouTube, like the shorts, more entertaining than the actual podcast because it's very like edited on the little shorts, and so it's really quick and fast paced, and there's no interruptions, and they sound very very smart and But when you listen to the regular podcast, it's like it's a little slower.
Yeah,
but it's fun to listen.
Yeah, when you take the highlights, it's like it's like when you see like a romantic comedy, a modern romantic comedy.
Oh yeah.
And you go, oh, that looks pretty good. And then you watch the movie and you go, they literally put all the best scenes in the
trailer. All the best scenes in the trailer. So, the reason, the one that actually made me want to talk about rom-coms. Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell.
Yes, that's the one I was just referring to. Like, all the best scenes were in the trailer. The trailer was great. The
trailer was amazing. And I watched it and I'm like, that was so, I enjoy rom-coms.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I can't say it's bad.
Yeah.
But. Man, I would rather watch anything else.
Well, I almost feel like the comedies of the 80s were just done better. Like, I feel like they had, like, complete stories. Whereas now I feel like they're just they take, like a general idea and they try to make some memorable scenes. I don't feel like they ever piece together a complete movie anymore. And that even goes for – so, like, that movie, for example, has, like I said, all the best scenes were in the trailer. Like, you know, his clothes fall off and they're standing on the side of the cliff. And,
right.
Like, all those, like, these really funny scenes. And, like, you watch the movie and it's just, like – just like filler. Oh, there's that funny scene from the trailer. Filler. There's that funny scene. And they're so predictable. Like, I don't know. I just feel like that, like, you know, the back in the, you know, Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn Overboard days.
Oh, yeah.
They were, I felt like they put together
McConaughey
more of a complete
pieces. And Kate Hudson.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, the modern ones, I kind of got into this Christmas because I was looking for new Christmas movies to watch. We ended up watching several of the, like, you know, Hallmark style movies.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. We watched two of the Lindsay Lohan ones that were directed at Netflix. And then that girl, what's her name? Lacey
Chabrol.
Apparently she's been in like 26 Hallmark movies.
She was the, I remember the first time I saw her, she was in Lost in Space.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Lost in Space was the first time I saw her. She was the daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently she's like got a career now just making Hallmark movies, and they're all the same plot. Like the one Lindsay Lohan one was so predictable at the very beginning. She's dating this douchey guy, and she's like this rich Paris Hilton type girl, and she bumps into the guy who runs the local Holiday Inn or whatever.
Okay.
And it's just like, okay, it's already written itself. It's just a matter of seeing how they get there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So, the other thing that we mentioned the theme song AI.
Yes.
You know, so AI has been a huge topic on pretty much everywhere.
It's crazy. Like again, and I know it's eventually going to kill us because I've read and seen too many sci-fi.
Oh,
movies.
Come on. So, here's the problem. Here's the thing
global
about
thermal nuclear war.
Because all you have to do is. Pull the plug.
Yeah,
this is everything relies on power. So I am not worried about anything.
You're not worried because it could be like the Ultron where he just goes up to the next port that wasn't closed.
Is Lawnmower Man? Is that what this is?
Whatever. Yeah. You know what? I mean, I have a confession about Lawnmower Man. So the first time I saw Lawnmower Man, I was like, oh my god, this is a kick-ass movie. I love this movie. It's like a 9 out of 10.
Oh my
gosh. It's like
gosh.
Almost a 10 out of 10. This movie is so great. And then I remember watching it again, like, just not even like, you know, 20 years later when you rewatch something and you go, oh, that wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Yeah.
It was like maybe a year later when it came out on VHS. I'm like, oh, what?
Well,
is this the same movie that I was like...
It's kind of like Captain Ron. First it was a zero, now and then it was a four.
Yeah.
By the time you watch it next time, it's
going
to be a seven.
Yeah, Lawnmower Man was going the opposite direction. It was going down. Like, I'm all, how could I possibly have thought that was like a 9 out of 10 at some point?
I don't know. That was...
It was a cool concept.
So I'm sorry, the guy that played the simpleton, the Lawnmower Man, the gardener, what was his name?
Jeff Fahey?
Yeah. Has he done anything?
Like a C movie actor. He's like one of those guys.
But it had Pierce Brosnan in it.
Okay, he was the guy that played Pony Boy. C. Thomas Howell.
Yes.
He's like a C. Thomas Howell.
Okay.
He's that kind of actor.
Ouch.
He got like one gig and one big movie, you know, and then he was kind of like.
We're not going to get C. Thomas Howell on the podcast now.
No, probably not.
You know, we could probably get.
You know, the
C.
last
Thomas
thing
Howell,
he was
though.
On. The last thing I saw him on. He was on that. Did you see that movie or that not movie that series Obliterated on Netflix?
I did not see that.
It was like a bunch of like this like ops team that had just prevented like Las Vegas from getting blown up. And then so they have this like wild, crazy, raunchy party because they just saved the world.
Yeah.
And they find out in the middle of the party while they're all high and like stoned and on drugs that, oh, the bomb's still actually out there. And so they have to go.
Psych. Now they're all like
stoned.
They're
all messed up trying to stop this thing in Vegas that they thought they already stopped. It was pretty interesting, but it was like, it was very raunchy, like, you know, intentionally raunchy. Like wild, over the top, and it was like a comedy. But he was on that, and he was like this, like totally drugged out guy who was the expert that had to undo the bomb.
He had to cut the red wire.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it's like Dragon Weekend at Bernie's, you know, to the end to like undo the wire at the last moment or whatever. That's the final. I don't know. Just, he popped into my brain, and that was the thing I've seen him in most recently. Obliterated.
Obliterated.
And he was obliterated. Right. He looked hard, harsh. He hasn't aged well.
So to go back.
Back to AI.
Back to AI.
This is going to be one of those podcasts where it goes on tangent. It's tangent. We should call this the tangent podcast.
Off tangent.
Off tangent. There we go.
So
Russell sends me this song.
Let's go back.
Okay.
It's 2025.
Yeah.
And we got a new president.
Mm-hmm.
And that's talking about AI, which is weird.
Yes.
Talking about, you know. 200 billion, $500 billion investments by companies.
Yes.
And then the Chinese come in and blow everybody out of the water.
Yeah, they probably stole all that stuff.
With some $5 million, like, you know, it's got to be, you know, but again, the Chinese don't care about IP.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, so they've taken other.
Intellectual rights mean nothing to them.
so they've done something with this DeepSeek deal. So now everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
You know? NVIDIA's stock's gone down. Oracle stock's gone down. All and Meta stock's gone down. So everybody's going down because of this. Instead of spending like $100 billion like ChatGPT has done and the OpenAI people, now this thing's done. It's been trained for like $5-6 million.
Yeah.
Amazing amount lower. You know that? And so now everybody's talking about AI. However, a little app on the App Store.
Yeah.
Called Suno, and it is amazing what you can do. So it is a music app, and you put your idea in, you put the type of music you want to put in, and I've been doing, you know, little funny things, and it's cute, and
I'm loving it.
You've taken it a step further because
I'm doing AI art with it.
Little beknownst to me, you have like a cache of lyrics of poems and songs things that you're putting in there.
I have very few songs. So like I did a couple of the songs, but a lot of my stuff is poetry and it doesn't work as well.
Okay.
You know, they're like sound poems. It's like I got poems written in folders that no one's ever going to see. And you post them on Facebook and maybe one or two people might read half of it. But now I can turn them into like decent songs. And it's like I'm loving this. I'm trying not to go overboard and do more than one a day. Because I know I could do like 15, you know, whatever, 10 a day or something.
Yeah.
And I'm just like trying to control myself and just do like one a day or one every other day. And it's crazy because first Russell sends me this new theme song and I'm told the lead singer kind of sounds like Andy. I'm all, have Russell and Andy been working on a theme song for us for the last 5 months? We haven't been
podcasting. 5 months.
And I'm like, oh, wow, this is crazy. How come they didn't tell me about this? He just dropped this on me.
We can't get Andy to show up for a podcast.
So I'm telling Russell, I'm like, oh, that sounds like Andy, but. Is it AI? And he's all, and he sends me this thing, and I go. So I send him this. One of the things I've been into with all this AI stuff is doing like artwork, because my whole life I've had ideas in my head, I've had concepts and ideas in my head. I dreamed up an entire Star Wars theme park years before Disney even bought Star Wars. Mine was in Vegas, and it was a casino / theme park.
Okay.
Idea that I had, but like I can't draw for shit. And I can think up song lyrics and I can write poetry, but I can't play instruments. So like I've had all this creativity boiling in my brain with no outlet, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can make something look like that picture that I want it to look like, and get close enough that it like actually looks like what I thought of in my head, rather than telling a friend to try to draw it, and maybe like a month later he gives me one drawing that doesn't look like what I wanted it to be. Now I can like make it happen. So I started doing like all this stuff. I dove in with my Pineapple Man character, and I would do the AI art and then do a face swap to make myself the character, like a younger, skinnier version of me that has hair. So I was doing that.
Seriously, the number of that you putting yourself and your face in all these movies is hilarious.
Well, I did that at first, and Kim's like, "Okay, can you cut back on that? Like, you don't need to do, you know, Brad in the movies for the day post, like
for the day."
So I went wild on that, and then I kind of rolled that back a little bit, and then I turned it into my character that I wrote all these when I had MySpace. I was doing like daily posts of like these stories. It was like a paragraph, and then the next day you would read the next paragraph. I'm sure no one ever read it, but it was like these stories I was creating for the Pineapple Man character. And now I was trying to turn those into like artwork that can go with the words. And then I was doing that a little bit too much, so I kind of burned out on that, and I switched it up. But I also had the idea. If you remember, do you remember when Wash wore the you probably weren't at that show, but you remember that you heard of it, I'm sure. Wash wore the paper mache pineapple heads.
Here's the thing. Bogart's. So here's the thing that you don't know. Like, you guys did that.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I had zero idea that Wash existed.
Oh, wow.
Until, like, 10 years later.
Oh, wow.
Until when we were doing the, like, you know, we're talking about earlier when we were drinking Mai Tais.
Yeah.
You're having parties at your house. You've got sand in the backyard.
Yeah.
You know, and covering the entire backyard. You know?
Sand, yeah. got me a wife. So, Kim showed up to my party and never left.
There you go.
Eric had to move out.
But we, you know, at that time, so I'm sorry. So the
so you and Andy must have not been in close of contact.
No,
for
so the whole Wash thing
happened.
And ended before I even knew about it.
Oh, wow.
And then you guys are like, and I see these videos, and you're smashing a fucking pineapple on your head.
Yeah,
And I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, Brad's pretty like a straight-laced conservative guy. What's he doing crushing pineapples on his head?
I mean, Brad was, you
completely
know,
sober, by the way.
Brad was a Pepsi-drinking guy going, yeah! And then talking about Mr. Diff.
Yeah.
In high school. And so, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm watching this thing, and I can't understand a freaking a single word.
It's noise music.
Yeah, exactly. Music. I mean, it was fun, but an invitation would have been nice.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any
of social media. It's like, can you imagine? I think Wash would have been a lot bigger in modern era where you have cell phones and YouTube. Because what we would do is...
Oh, no, you guys would... It would have killed.
We would film our shows, and then we would go home and watch the VHS tapes.
Yeah.
And we got to one point where we were playing, like, you know, all-age parties at places like the American Legion. Remember that Rossmore had the, like, community center?
Yeah.
We played some show there. It was, like, 600 people. And Wash played with – Wash opened – or played same concerts with Sublime before Sublime blew up.
Right.
And, you know, a whole bunch of other bands at the time.
Yeah.
So we'd have shows with, like, three bands, and we'd have, like, 600 people show up. And that was just with, like – word of mouth. Like, you know, people didn't even have cell phones.
No,
if we had had like YouTube or like viral clips.
This is like early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was.
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy to think about. So I we should eventually do a whole thing on Wash because Andy can talk about how he got kicked out of the band and
all that stuff. It's a hilarious story.
But no, so there was this one show at Bogart's in Long Beach. Remember Bogart's?
I remember Bogart's over at the Marine.
So we played at Bogart's and they made paper mache pineapple heads. So the whole show was like dedicated to my character.
Okay.
And so they had like a fake volcano with smoke coming out of it, and they wore these pineapple heads.
Okay.
And so I came up with a new idea when we were doing when the AI stuff started. I'm like, oh, I could make a fictional surf band. So I started making these like album covers.
Album covers, you know, were first.
And the problem is half the times they're misspelled because AI doesn't like to spell things correctly.
Yes.
Except for that new one that we found. But I don't like the pictures it does as much.
And then it's called, the ideogram.
Copilot does better pictures. But for a while, you gave me this tip on how to spell things correctly, and it was working.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it decided, no, this is working too good. Let me
scrub spelling.
Yeah, yes. Let me scrub spelling.
The tip came from my son. He's like, oh, tell it to spell everything correctly, just as displayed.
Yeah.
And then, don't change the spelling
to
fit the image.
Yeah.
And it does a better job.
It does a better job, and every once in a while it gets it right. But still, like certain words, like
this one called ideogram. That's how they say it. And it does the text, And that's what everybody's all freaking out about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't do as good an image, a picture, but it gets the text right every time.
Yeah.
Pretty much right.
Yeah. So I'm gonna play around and mess with both of them. I still like Copilot's
video. And you know what? And it has to do with the prompts. You got to get a better prompt.
Yeah.
A better prompt gets you a better.
I'm like, please spell it correctly.
Please. You're like pleading with some program.
So anyway, I created this fake, this fictional surf band based on this one concert we did with Wash where they wore the pineapple heads. Because I thought it was cool to have these guys with these pineapple heads and sunglasses playing surf music. And so I came up with fictional albums with fictional song titles, like this whole thing. And then Russell drops this, you can make music now.
And
I send him this picture. I said, okay, I did this one album cover called Tiki's Don't Surf.
Right? Yes.
I sent it to Russell, and a minute later, less than a minute later, it has this really good song that he did based on just the title and the band name. And I was like, oh my God, you've got to be... I need this. And now I've gone crazy. Like, once a day, I post some song. And again, some of them are better than others. But, like, my poems were pretty decent. Like, some of these are pretty good.
Some of them are – so you did one. And, I honestly, I've listened to it a couple times now. It's called Release the Kraken.
Oh, Release the Kraken. It's great. It's about Tiki Oasis.
So I'm going to play it right now.
All right. Release the Kraken. I love the Release the Kraken.
It is late at night and a natural request. A burlesque girl is flashing her breasts while a guy dressed like a gorilla is pounding on its chest. This is the time when Tiki Oasis is at its best. The surf band is playing. No one knows what is going to happen. Then someone yells out, release the Kraken.
How close was it to what you had envisioned in your brain? Like, is this something that was, like, close? Because I'm listening to it.
I wrote it basically as a poem, and it came out better than I would have imagined it in my brain.
Because I don't...
It's almost like surf lounge. It's almost like Richard Cheese sounding.
So I don't know how you... So it's like... Like some of the ones that you've done,
yeah.
Like, there's got to be something with the punctuation or the lines,
yeah.
Or how you have like written the lyrics or the poem, yeah. You know, that it makes it like it just works so well. This is one of them. This is great.
That flow. Well, I mean, all my things are pretty much like little stories.
Yeah,
they're kind of like in like I have like a Twilight Zone. I watched a lot of Twilight Zone type of stuff in my life. So a lot of them have like little weird twists, or they're things about like, you know, Lobster Man, or you know, they're just weird stuff. Like I'm doing one that I was trying to do today that didn't turn out right, and I tried to turn it more into a song because it was coming out too much like stilted poem. It wasn't written. You know, some of them like I've actually written ones that like were like meant to be songs but have choruses and everything.
Yeah.
And then other ones are just obviously poems. So I call them sound poems if you want to call it that way. But it's kind of turned even some of the poems into, like, decent-sounding things. And I'm like, you'll get a couple versions, and you'll be like, no, that doesn't really fit. And you'll get one, you'll go like, that one, I was like, oh, that worked. That totally worked. Like it sounds like something.
So the other one you did, so okay. So that one was, this was great.
But that was great because it was about the drink. There's a Kraken rum.
Oh,
there's a black spice Kraken rum that's super good.
I've got that downstairs in the bar. Yeah.
Yeah. So my whole thing was about it was about the rum, but it was about then at the party that this actual giant Kraken, you know, grabs the mermaid and starts climbing up the side of the hotel. It was like it was. I loved that poem, and the song came out better than I thought it could possibly. And I was like, oh, okay, this stuff works.
Okay, so one of them was Revenge of the Tiki.
Yeah, Revenge of the Tiki was written more as a. That one was like kind of a song.
Oh man, let's see here.
That was the first one I posted just because I wanted to do the surf band. It was like, this is what the surf band was singing about.
Mm-hmm. So you sent me a. Did you send me an MP3 on that?
I don't know. That was probably the first one I sent you, maybe.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out.
So I'm trying to use all my own words. I'm not letting AI create my lyrics. I'm just posting old poems and then trying to make them work with, like, whatever kind of stuff.
Sand. So seriously, like, how did you get it to do? like as it starts going, it's like it's just such a swing.
Yeah,
it's just swinging. It's just so it's so good.
Yeah.
How did you get it to do that?
I have no idea.
Like, okay,
so it's just the way I wrote it. I mean, like again, I said some of them work better than others because some of them are very much more poem. You know, the ones that are more poem than song don't work as well.
Yeah.
They sound more like a sound poem. Like it's like there's some music to it, but he's some guy's just telling a story over music. But the ones that I kind of wrote as songs turned out good.
I think they turned out great.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, so
my thing was, I was like, dude, you gotta like take all these tiki songs. Like you take those two.
Yeah.
And that it is an amazing start.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how many you have in you, but dude, the Pineapple Man.
Folders of shit. So much of it is poetry, though.
Yeah.
It's so much of it is poetry, but. I even turned one I had that was kind of a poem, and it didn't work the first time I put it in. I'm all, it just sounds too... And then I threw in, like, this... I made this little chorus for it, and it came out, like, way better once I added the little chorus.
See, yeah, so you're... So that's different. So, like, I've only given it, like... let's go back. You take, like... I think the one of the some ones that I thought was the best was this Star Wars in a cowboy bar.
Oh,
have you seen that? Have you heard that one?
No. That's some random one.
So I just said like, give me Star Wars. It happens in
I've tried that artwork wise and got weird mixed results. Like today, I tried to do Scooby Doo villains hanging out in a tiki bar, and it just turned out all weird. But I've done some things that have come out great. Like for Christmas, I did like. You know, Santa Claus, you know, fighting Snowman and Santa Claus fighting Shark Man, and they came out pretty good. The AI artwork, at least.
Yeah. So,
but I'm just digging this. I'm like, until AI kills us, I'm going to have as much fun with it as I can. Whether it's face swapping me onto Popeye or making songs.
It logged me out.
Yeah.
I was going to.
And now the thing I do is also is like, so I make the song and then I make up one of my AI art, like album covers to go. With the song, because they make like these generic little, you know, artwork on there, you know, based on your song. But I'm making like actual AI like album covers. So I did one the other day. It was like the Caveman, and it has the Pineapple Man playing like guitars with this caveman playing drums in the ice in the background.
Oh man,
it's just I'm having so much fun. We're looking at even my phone thing. So I did these. Well, you can't see it at the moment because I logged on. It's kind of faded. But I did this whole thing of tiki surfing lava waves, and I liked this one thing so much I made it my phone cover.
Okay, so yeah, so I'll have to see, I'll see what it is.
Because like once you open your phone, all of a sudden you like the thing goes. Oh, here it is. Yeah, this picture came out so good. I made it my like.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, so it does
you know,
lava waves.
It does. It's an like amazing something job. That
somebody else may have not even thought of because I've never seen any like this image before in my life.
No, it didn't and exist.
I'm creating it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you know, and that's the thing. So I'm not
selling shit. I'm just making.
So I was thinking like I'm thinking. I always think.
How do I monetize this?
How do I monetize this? And so I was like, so if you create your own lyrics. Mm-hmm. And you pay for the service.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, it's $8 a month.
Yeah.
Like, you own the copyright to them. And you can put them on Spotify or something. You create, and then you create an album.
And I do want to do that. I'm making, like, on my, I'm doing all the ones that are tiki surf kind.
Yes.
Into, like, this one playlist that I could then eventually, so where is it here? I'm doing one about a UFO motel next. I know it's a fun.
There's so many things you can do with it.
No, it's a fun twist. So I wrote this poem a long time ago. It's about these people. They're checking. You know, it's this motel in the middle of nowhere. It's this UFO motel, and like they check in, and then you get to the end of the story, and you find out that the people in the story that you thought were people are like these green 5-tentacled aliens. So like the whole story, you're just going along. These people like ending up in this lazy motel in the middle of nowhere, at this UFO motel. Everyone's welcome, and at the end, it turns out that they were aliens all along. So that's my latest one. I'll post that one tomorrow.
That's a good one.
I know. I got these. That's what I'm saying. I went through this folder. I have this folder of just these all these damn poems that we're just gonna be rotting in a folder when thrown away when I die, and I'm turning them into something. Even if like 10 people listen to it, I'm happy.
And absolutely.
And I've gotten like 100 views on some of these things that I posted.
Your wife I'm not
making money. If I post them on Spotify, I'm not expecting to make money because I saw like how much you have to, how many views you have to really make money.
And
I'm not making money, but if somebody views this, if somebody listens to it and says, hey, that's kind of cool. But you know, I do want to get them on Spotify just so that they'll be able to, I can put them on my own things.
And yes, and they'll be,
cause
they'll live on beyond you.
And so right now, what I've been doing is I've been making the songs, then putting in my own custom album cover, and then playing it and screen recording it, and then posting the screen recording on like Instagram so that I can, you know, have views.
There you go.
Whatever.
So
this, maybe when I'm dead, somebody would be like, oh my God, this guy had all these crazy cool songs. But they all have this like this cool little like, you know, weird twist to them. Kind of like, you know, Curse of the Tiki, you know, Revenge of the Tiki, or, you know, like I said, this UFO motel one. Or I even did the one about Bigfoot. Bigfoot is dead.
And here's the thing about like the Tiki culture.
Yeah.
Like the alien, you know, at the motel.
Yeah.
You put that in a surf rock style.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful part
of it. I've done a couple of them as country songs. I did one of them as punk. But, I mean, whatever. I'm just playing around. Things that fit more that song. I did one called The Worst Country Song Ever Written. And it was about a guy whose dog steals his car, his hat, and his wife. You know, because, like, country songs are always about, like, my wife ran away from me, whatever. So this guy's dog kills his cat, steals his hat, steals his beer, and his wife, and his truck. And it's all about that. It's turned out pretty decent, actually. I was like, oh, wow, that came out pretty good.
So I'm trying to play this one, and it's not showing up. I'm using the bed phone. So
yeah. That's but anyway, happens. Check out Brad at – what is it? What's my Instagram handle? I don't even know my own Instagram handle. Brad Pineapple Man something.
Brad the Pineapple Man.
Okay. Where is it here? Brad _ the Pineapple Man.
Yeah.
Check that out if you want
to. And I'll
– I'm posting a song a day until I get through this folder.
I'll link a couple in the in the show notes, but
it's good fun
until
it kills us,
and so and like
until it takes over our nuclear power, it's like Hydra.
So this ideogram,
yes.
So my wife and my son are in this Department 56 Collectors Club. Now those are the little villages that
Your whole Christmas,
the whole friggin' Christmas in my house is full of these little ceramic villages.
My mom was trying to get rid of my dad's, and then secretly did it already.
Oh.
Yes.
Damn.
I was going to tell you about it, but then she was like, oh, I sold the 50. I'm okay. Never mind.
Forget it. So.
They're probably ones you already had. She had the whole Dickens. They had the whole Dickens Village.
The Dickens Village is what we had this year. And the normally we have the North Pole.
Yeah.
On this big display deal that I made.
I used to love that store. They used to have it in downtown Disney, and I'd like going in there.
Yeah.
And
the whole Halloween town. Oh, man. It was
elaborate.
It was really cool. But so he's in this club. They were there in this club, and we made a shirt on this. They're like, give me a, you know, this. He has one in his bedroom. What? I got a pina colada.
Okay.
So we got.
Can we pause?
So we there's a. So we said, okay, he has one in his room during Christmas.
Yeah.
It was up till like March or like April last year, so he didn't put up this year. He's like, I'm not going to do it. But it was Christmas in the city.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right. Create this t-shirt design for this Department 56 Collectors Club that has uses Christmas in the city, and then he created this logo, and then I put it on my Printify, and he got a now there's a freaking shirt on it.
Oh, yeah.
Like inside of 1 week.
Well, this is
something that didn't exist at all, like a complete new design for this thing. And now he can wear it to the next club.
Well, this is what I've always wanted, because like I've always thought of like, oh, I can make a really cool Pineapple Man shirt, but I just can't draw that good. You know, like I have like some drawing that Eric did for me. Like I have one drawing that my cousin did for me, but like I wanted to like make this like customized thing with like that represents the song.
Yeah.
So in the song, there's like this whole thing about these like gorillas throwing dung at him. And there's this, you know, the naked ladies like swimming in the river. There's all this stuff. So my original image that I had for the Pineapple Man was the Pineapple Man holding a pineapple, holding his machete in one hand, like, you know, like the classic Star Wars poster or the vacation poster.
Yeah, oh, and I tried to make one for you doing that. Yeah.
So like the girls like hanging on his one arm, and like the gorillas on the other side. So it's like I can make that now. I can make t-shirts. What I really want to do is, because when I inherit my mom's house, I want to turn their garage into a tiki bar. This is like my dream. Of course, I'm probably going to be too old by the time it happens that, you know, to care.
Or you'll forget.
Yeah. No, because my mom, in her little kitchen nook, she has like this old, like 50s style, like diner seat. It's like, you know, one of those, okay, like, if you went to like old Hoff's Hut, there'd be like one of those corner seats, like in a diner.
Yeah.
I want to take that out of the house and put that in the tiki bar. Just have like a whole wall of the mugs. Have my posters. And I'm also making custom art for my tiki bar now. Like, if I want to have, like, Jennifer Aniston in a bikini at a tiki bar as, like, one of my random pictures on my thing, I got it, you know? Or, like, the thing you did that one art for me was, like, the Star Wars characters in a tiki bar. Or,
yeah.
It came out great. So, like, I'm making custom art to eventually go in this tiki bar.
It's kind of creepy, the Jennifer Aniston thing, I got to tell you, though. It's kind of weird.
But, no, like, it's just this concept. I'm going to have this. I can't even remember where I started. I was going on about the tiki bar, and I had something very specific to say, and now I can't.
About your mom's, your the tiki bar in your mom's garage.
Yes. Well, anyway, it'll be.
Anyway,
I want to make custom. Okay, I know what I was going to say. One of my big things, I was into tiki mugs. I really like tiki mugs, and I get two new ones every year for Christmas. Cause it's like, oh, we don't know what to get Brad. Get him a tiki mug.
Yeah, right? And by the way, my offer's still. If you ever want to get rid of these tiki mugs, you let me know.
Okay. But my other thing that I'm really into is the cocktail glasses. So all these tiki things have like these cool cocktail glasses, and I've been collecting a lot of those. I want to get like a custom one made because now you can make your own artwork. And then you just send it. If I send it to someplace,
you get
20 glasses made.
You can do that?
Yeah. If you have your own artwork, there's places you can go and they will put your artwork on a glass cocktail glass.
What?
So let me show you like an example. You keep talking.
I'm trying to play the. I'm trying to download. Oh, there you go. This is one of the AI songs. This is the first one I did.
Okay.
It's called The Force Ain't Strong in This Bar. Let me just...
Truth for Zane, this never dark. Emperor's laughing, but ain't got a heart.
Oh, yeah,
lightsabers clashing in a honky-tonk bar.
Speeders
parked outside, can't drive too far. Empire in a mess, rebels flying high. Death Star's blown up, C-3PO's asking why.
I don't know what happened. Let's just start again. Start from the beginning. There's the line in here I love.
Jabba's in the corner, ain't paying his tab. Han shot first, and the band's playing bad. Chewie's howling loud, someone call Peter. Obi-Wan's trying to steal Luke's tequila.
Yeah.
No, that
came out great.
I don't even know what I called it. Obi-Wan's trying to steal Luke's tequila.
Yes. My favorite line was the lightsabers clashing in a honky tonk.
Honk song, yeah, honk tonk. Seriously, I don't know even know how it. Like I put together that like prompt, but that's all I did.
Yeah,
and that's ridiculous how good that is.
Though
you know it is subjective because I shared that with my brother-in-law. He's like, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. He's kind of a snob.
I think it's great.
Jeff, you're a snob about music. Okay, it is what it is.
So here's one of my favorite tiki artists. This guy's named Jeff Granado, and he used to be one of those guys who would work in that Wonderland gallery at downtown Disney.
Sure.
And he does a lot of Disney art, but he comes up with these really cool like tiki things. So we've gotten some glasses from him and some.
You know what? This dual color, like this, like very minimal. I love that stuff. Yeah.
That's great. It's like the tiki's and the skull.
I'm sorry, but that one that you showed me, like that's your screen, it's. It's like as good.
Yeah, that came out great. That's good. Okay, so this is the kind of thing he does though. So he does his artwork, and then he gets his artwork put on these cocktail glasses. So there's like,
oh my god, that heat miser in, and oh my gosh,
look how cool that is.
That is amazing.
So now I can make my own thing. Like I can put my own thing on a cocktail mug and say,
"Pineapple Man." So now you got to send it to me, so I can. See the show notes. Yeah, just that post. Send it to me on the Facebook.
I'll send it to you on the Facebook.
Are you still on the Facebook?
I'm on Facebook all the time.
I don't even go to the Facebook anymore.
I'm on Facebook. And the funny thing is I barely see people. I just see suggested posts and nerd news. Like like a Star Wars episode dropped.
All I see is advertisements. So I don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Zuckerberg.
I've got OCD though, so I just scroll
fucking,
through that. Instagram.
Fucking Zuckerberg.
I see,
okay, hold
I
on,
see
hold on.
AI models. And the AI models are, you know.
That's my Instagram.
Yeah.
So, So.
Yeah, my algorithm is. I gotta clean my algorithm out every once in a while.
I gotta say,
like some cute dog pictures, so my algorithm's not all just boobs.
be careful. All right, so we're gonna pause for 1 second for refilling of the
cocktails. Yeah, so I did this whole folder. I've created this whole... I'm creating, like, entire scenarios now. So my Pineapple Man page is just going crazy. So this made this place called Volcano Island. And it was based on the song title for one of my fake songs that I created, like, a month ago for my fake Pineapple Man band. But then I did all this artwork that's just the tikis, like, surfing lava waves. So, like, there's, like, a whole, like, you know, like, there's a collection of, like, maybe 12...
Oh, shit. Look at that.
Surfing lava waves. The one that I used was the best one.
You got to do a calendar now.
Yeah, look at that. Look how cool that came out. Like, drinking cocktails, surfing waves with lava.
Dude, you have to make a calendar. Tiki Lava Man.
So then I did a whole series of the tiki surfing, like, lava, like, down the mountain. Like, there's all these ones, tiki skiing on lava. And then I did, like, these 1950s posters of Volcano Island Resort. So this is a whole volcano. It's like a whole series now.
Is this all Copilot?
This is all Copilot, and then I sometimes use the Magic Studio. That one gets really good for the Pineapple Man. When I do, like, Pineapple Man pictures, like, Copilot's kind of weird. It's like, oh, you're too violent. This image is violent. I can't post it.
Violent?
If I try to do anything, like, action-related for my Pineapple Man thing, it'll give me, like, oh, this is not safe. It'll give you weird non-safe warnings sometimes, like, oh, you're going to get banned. Well, look at this. This looks like a postcard from, like, the 1950s if you were going to go to Volcano.
Volcano Island Resort. Yeah. 1550s.
Yeah, well, that's a little
bit. That's a little bit weird.
Yeah, but look, it's just like this. I made this whole thing. It's where these tikis go to party. It's this volcano island.
Volcano Island.
They surf the volcano waves.
Now, seriously, you got to, like, I know. And again.
I know. I got to monetize.
I go. Make a calendar.
Yeah.
I will put it on my wall. Yeah. That's better than anything I've had on my wall in the last 10 years.
Better than some golden retriever calendar.
Seriously, I've got, like, pictures from, like, I had a calendar from Long Beach. I've got, like,
last calendar I bought was from the Hula Girls, and it was all pinup girls.
Okay, well, I can't have that in my office. So
I have that in my area that used to be my podcast area that has now become Kim's staging crap area. I can't even sit there anymore. I used to sit there and podcast from there. Remember?
When
I roasted Jason and read his poem from the Wilson?
Yes.
And he never came back?
Yes, he never came back.
He's like, I'm fucking roasted by this nerd.
So right now, and then we've switched from Tiki Rum Mai Tais.
We're back on.
Yes. Okay. To Pina Colada, Cutwater Pina Coladas.
Yeah, these are good.
These
are more like a dessert. This is like our dessert course.
The main course is the Tiki Rum Mai Tai and then the Pina Colada.
Yeah. And these are not nearly as strong as those zombies that, like, basically one drink and you're like...
Those are...
Really fun podcast.
What were those, 25%?
I don't know. They were good, though. They actually tasted good,
Still got a couple down there.
Yeah, those
were
good.
Yeah. When my son got the ridiculous deal at $3 a piece.
Oh, yeah. He found them at the...
Half price, man. So we still have, like,
the Total Wine and More or the Buy and...
Right, yeah. Somebody didn't know what they were selling.
Yeah. Well, those were good. That company's out of San Diego. So I remember at first they were only in San Diego markets, like San Diego grocery stores. And I'm like, oh, are you guys going to be... And he goes, oh, yeah, we're going to be at the Long Beach, whatever. And I went and grabbed some. Oh, yeah.
They're at the Ralph's now.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah. They've become... Yeah, I remember I was talking to the guy at the Ralph's, too.
But they're surprisingly good, because I was never a big... When I went and got tiki drinks, I was never ordering zombies normally.
No, you were.
Zombies are strong. I remember going to...
It's like a Long Island iced tea.
Eric was a pretty big drinker, and I remember going to the tiki bar, and they're like, oh, you can only have two of these. And he's like, well, only two of these.
Two?
Yeah,
what am I, a baby?
And then after two of them, he was like, I can see why.
You have one, you're like, did it before dinner.
Yeah. Well, even the one in the can, when it first came out, I'm like, oh, $6 for one drink? Which is so weird, because you're thinking, $6 for one drink. If you went to a tiki bar,
that would be $18.
Like, yeah, $16 probably for a drink. And you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to pay $6 for one can. Then you drink it, and you're like, oh, that was kind of like about three drinks.
Exactly.
So I'm pretty getting a deal, actually, for the $6 can.
AI aside.
Yeah.
What are you watching
what
now?
What am I watching now?
I just finished a couple of things, but yes. I want to hear what you're doing.
Okay, so I had zero expectations or kind of low expectations for Skeleton Crew because they really didn't pump it up. It kind of came out of nowhere.
Star Wars on Disney Plus only.
So I enjoyed Acolyte, but not as much as the other shows. It was still, you know, a lot of people didn't like it at all. A lot of people hated it. I actually thought, you know, it was okay. I liked it. And so, like, Skeleton Crew was like, oh, it's going to be a kid's show. Jude Law's in it. But it was basically, it's the best way to describe it is it's Goonies in space in Star Wars. Goonies Star Wars. And it lived up to that. It felt very, it was just great. It was like super, it was way better than I thought. Jude Law's character is like probably now my second or third favorite Star Wars character.
Oh.
He plays this pirate of many names. And he, like, you know, has twists and turns in his character. But I loved his character. I don't care if they do a sequel to Skeleton Crew, but I want to see his character continue on in Star Wars.
Okay.
His character was great. So, Skeleton Crew, like, it surprised me. It ended up being my favorite show of the year. My favorite show until then was Darkmere, which is the last time we podcast, I talked about Darkmere, which was the...
It's a British show.
No, it was the one that was like...
Oh, that was the Jennifer Connelly one.
The Jennifer Connelly with Joel Edgerton, where they were like going into multiverse, you know, going through doors into other universes. That show was like, came out of nowhere, and I love that.
Hmm.
So my three favorite shows of the year would be Skeleton Crew, Darkmere, and then that show Sugar that had Colin Farrell.
Okay.
Where he was like a detective. It was kind of like a... It was like a detective noir... like a thing, like, so he was driving like this old car. It felt very film noir, but it had like a weird sci-fi twist to it, which I won't get. I'm sure we talked about it maybe a year ago, who knows.
Yeah,
so those are my three favorite shows of the year. The thing I'm really into right now is Traitors.
Traitors. It's a reality show.
It's a reality show
with
but they basically
with Floop. What's his name? Floop.
Floop.
It's freaking Floop from Spy Kids. What's the host?
The host. Alan Cummings?
Alan Cummings plays the character Floop on Spy Kids.
The thing
do you not know Floop from Spy Kids?
I don't know. I don't remember Floop.
Oh, my God.
The thing I remember him the most from was he was the nerd who turned into the billionaire in Romy Michelle's.
I don't know that one.
Romy and Michelle? You never watched Romy and Michelle?
Romy Michelle's High School Reunion. That was a movie. I don't remember.
He was the guy that flew in at the end and they, like, you know, did the special dance for him or whatever.
Oh.
Anyway. But
Not memorable.
Traitors are pretty good though because it brings together like a bunch of reality stars from other reality TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
So the other versions of Traitors, like the very first year, I guess they did half reality stars and half regular people, and now they're just all reality people. So it's like a bunch. You know, I don't care about the Housewives, but it'll bring in like characters from Big Brother, which I used to watch. This current season, like the three best characters were like surprise entrances. And it was like Boston Rob from like Survivor season 2.
Oh my gosh, long time ago.
He's been on a bunch of Survivors, I'm sure, but
Boston.
I stopped watching Survivor after like 3 seasons. I was like, it was like one of the coolest shows ever, the first season, because it was like brand new, unexpected. Nobody's ever done anything like this. And then like Big Brother, which sucked its first season. You remember the first season of Big Brother? The first season of Big Brother
I remember it was like, it was in the, like 1990 or something.
The first
like that.
Season of Big Brother was like, they were literally all these people in the house, and then America voted people off.
Right.
So it wasn't like a competition to the people in the house just kind of sat around and did nothing. And yet it still got good enough ratings to get renewed for a second season. They're like, okay, we got to change this. Like Survivor did this thing where you kick people off, and like kick people off.
Which was the one that went, then Richard went naked and won the thing?
That was the very first Survivor.
That was the very first one?
And that was super good season. And I remember watching, like, season 2 was still pretty good. Survivor's still going today.
I can't imagine that.
I can't watch it anymore just because it was like, okay, yeah, people, you know, trying to make fire. It's only exciting for so many seasons, you know?
Well, then it turned into we have an alliance with this person. Like,
that will happen season 1. So Big Brother, which was super boring season 1. But a cool concept, because they'd imported it from like Sweden or some other country that had done it. And then they stole from Survivor the concept of the contestants get together and vote people out. And then it made it much more exciting. So anyway, they have people from Survivor on Traitors. They have people from Big Brother. They have people from the MTV Road Rules Challenge. That show's been going on for decades now, too. They've got people that... There are people that were on MTV that were either on Road Rules or Real World that went on these challenge shows once they started them.
Yeah.
And they've been making it like a career. Like once a year, they go down to the Bahamas for a week and compete for money. And they've turned that into like a career for some of these people. So like the people that have been on like 10 versions of Challenge, and now they're like, you know, a character on this show. So it's pretty cool. And then they'll throw in some random you know, B-list celebrities and stuff too. But the show is kind of cool because they basically what it is they pick like 3 people out of the group to be traitors, and the traitors like at night kill somebody off. Like, they just get up in a... They put hoods on, they go up into this tower, and they kill people.
Okay.
And then before that, they do, like, a competition during the day, And then at night they have a round table where they try to find one of the traitors and they vote somebody out thinking they're a traitor, and the person will get voted out. And they'll go stand in a circle and they'll go, "You motherfuckers, I was a faithful." And they're like, "Oh, man, you get a traitor." So like the faithful people kill themselves trying to find traitors, yes. And the traitors kill them. And it's cool. So this season's been super great because it started off, and like Boston Rob was one of like the three people that came in like after the first episode.
Yeah,
like they were in a cage. There was like these three people that got unveiled, and one of them was like a famous, super famous guy from the challenge who's been on like 10 challenges. One guy was Derek, who won Big Brother without even getting like put on the block the entire season, and the other guy was Boston Rob. So Boston Rob gets made a traitor to go with the other traitors.
Yeah.
And he goes in there, and there's like this one traitor was Bob the Drag Queen from, the Drag Queen show, whatever the show, that RuPaul's Drag Queen.
I have no idea.
So there's just like, there's like this 6'7" black guy who's like a drag queen. And he was like one of the traitors, but he was too vocal. He was talking too much. And so they're doing this mission and he's all, you know, one of the traitors could be one of the three guys in the cages. And you just see Boston Rob give him this dead stare because he's a traitor too. And then Boston Rob just like tanked him. He just like, he went around getting all these votes, and he like he went after one of his own traitors at the round table and kicked him off, and it was amazing.
That guy was a legend. You know?
Oh yeah, he's a total legend, and he probably played his hand too hard, so he's not going to make it to the end
because
he played his game too much. But it was such great television to watch like this one traitor kick off another traitor. Because, like, you know, they can't say, like, oh, he's a traitor too with me, you know, as he's going out. He's not allowed to do that. So he's like, he can put suspicion on him.
But why? So, see, he put suspicion on Boston Rob. Boston Rob's like,
but everybody
was, homie, don't play that.
Everybody was treating Boston Rob like he was the hero that finally found a traitor. Like, And then this one guy who was the guy from the challenge was one of the other three guys. The three best players were the guys that were in the cages. Let me call. Man, you just need to get all three of those guys out if you're one of the regular people. Because one of those guys is going to win if you don't kick him off. One of those guys goes, after everyone's celebrating and saying, Bob's, you know, Buster Rob's a hero. That was so great. He got that guy. He goes, you know what? How are you so certain that somebody's a traitor unless you're a traitor? And he put that in everyone's mind.
Bum, bum, bum.
So that show is like one of the hottest shows on TV right now, apparently. You know, it's on Peacock.
It keeps getting suggested to me on Peacock. Yeah.
No, and it's actually really good. But I'm not a huge reality show person.
I'm not either.
But I watch them occasionally, and I know some of the people. Like, I remember some of these characters from other shows. And it makes it better if you know somebody from another show that you're, like, rooting for somebody.
Sure.
So you're like, oh, yeah, I really want this person to win.
So traitors worthy.
Traitors is worthy.
Worthy, okay.
And you can even just start with this season, or you can watch maybe season two. It, you know, you can drop in at any point because it doesn't carry over, obviously. It's just a reality show. So the other show I've been watching, I just finished Silo.
Okay.
Which season one was amazing. It was one of my favorite shows last year that came out of nowhere. Season two, because of my Apple TV Plus problem that I was telling you about, wasn't as good because I watched this whole 10-episode show on Apple Plus thinking there was something wrong with my TV, and it's Apple Plus has issues with some TVs, and it was so dark, I'm like squinting, couldn't even see half of what was going on.
They gotta turn off all the lights
in the
house.
I'm just thinking, like, they did a really shitty job this season of, like, filming in this dark silo that has no light. Because it is dark. Like, the one silo had no power, so it was, like, dark.
Right.
Like, it's meant to be dark, but not so dark you can't see the characters. So that didn't turn out so good. I'm watching Severance season two.
Okay.
Have you ever watched Severance?
Severance, it's with...
It's really weird.
It's odd. I've watched a little bit of it, yeah.
It's pretty good. The new Shifting Gears, the new Tim Allen show. It's got Tim Allen.
Whoa, 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 whoa. New Tim Allen
new
show?
New Tim Allen show on ABC. It's the number one comedy in America right now.
This guy just manufactures money.
He is like sitcom gold. You put him on.
He really is.
Like, there's so many people that have done like one really successful sitcom, and they try to do another one.
Home Improvement, Last Man Standing, like
went for 9 years.
Season one of Last Man Standing was one of my favorite shows ever. Like, after that, I really didn't care for it so much. I mean, it was fine, but
I still liked it. I mean,
it was that first season was so freaking funny.
Yeah,
and but
so,
he
so now he's had
he
he's
keeps
had
home, going.
He had, Home Improvement was probably like a 10-year run.
Yeah.
Last Man Standing went at least 8 years.
Yeah.
And now he has this show. So it's him, Kat Dennings. Do you know who she is?
Absolutely.
So she's like really good. And then Sean Scott Williams, Stifler.
Stifler?
Stifler's on it too.
What's the name of the show?
It's called Shifting Gears. It's on ABC. It's like the number one comedy in America
Holy
right now.
Shit, I have not even heard of that.
It's only about three episodes so far, so you're not far behind.
Okay.
You can watch it on Hulu.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you can watch it on Hulu. We don't have a regular ABC, so we watch everything. If it's on ABC on Monday, we can watch it on a Tuesday or whatever. So shifting gears, it's pretty good. You know, you got to give a show a chance. Kim routinely just starts shitting on a show two episodes in. I'm like, you got to let them get time to develop.
Seriously, so I do that all the time, and I'm guilty of that too. I'll watch one episode. I'm like, oh, this show is shit. Everybody's talking about it, and then. You've got to give them time to be if you watch Seinfeld season one.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Horrendous.
I wasn't on board Seinfeld. I wasn't on board Seinfeld until I saw
season three or so.
Yeah. No, it was when they did the contest. Once I saw the contest, I was all in.
I'm out.
I'm out.
Absolutely. That was one of the best ones. So what's it called again? Shifting Gears.
It's called Shifting Gears.
Oh, it's right here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I'm literally, this is real time. I'm adding it to my Hulu queue with Kat Dennings. And
Sean Williams, he kind of disappeared. He was in a bunch of stuff for a while, and he kind of just disappeared.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's popping up on this show. So again, it's just getting started, so I'm giving it time. But Tim Allen is just straight out of the box. He's good.
Always.
He basically plays the same character. He's
same character.
I do
and Home Improvement.
Same time on this show. On this show, I run a pro bass shop. And this show, I fix cars. So he's the same basic guy.
Is this the car show?
Yes. Yeah, so he's fixing custom cars.
That's funny.
Yeah. So it's good.
Basically, what does Tim Allen want to do? Just give him a show.
Yeah. Just give him a TV show. I don't know why he doesn't just constantly have a TV show.
That's hilarious.
So that's a good show. And then what else was I going to say? Shifting Gears. Oh, speaking of Seinfeld, I never watched Curb Your Enthusiasm because I never had HBO.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
In 2024, I binged the first 8 seasons of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Okay, I'm on season 9 right now.
I don't even know if I've seen that many. Because there was a new season.
Yeah, there's 12 seasons total.
Yeah, yeah. And so
he would go sometimes 3 years between seasons.
Yeah.
No, it's like you saw the start date. It was 2004 or something, and they're up to season 12 in 2020. Four, 20 years. 12 seasons.
Larry David, I'm seriously. Every time I it's a comedy gold.
Oh,
guy.
Totally. It's and Kim can't stand it. I just don't think she likes his whole. You know, he's just he's too obnoxious. Comp. He's like George to the next level. And they even have a season where they do a Seinfeld reunion show that they're trying to put together.
Okay.
And George, he's trying to pitch it to George, to George Costanza, to Alex.
Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander's all, yeah, well, you know, everybody hates George because George is such an asshole. What? And Larry David's getting all mad because he knows it's based on himself. So he's getting all mad at George. But it was really good because it was basically a Seinfeld reunion for that whole season, pretty much.
They
had all the characters were on there.
No, I've watched many of those seasons. I probably am not even close to.
No, I watched the first episode of season 9 today.
Okay,
and it was about he was going to do some play about the fatwa, which was
I've seen that. Okay,
and then all of a sudden, Ayatollah wants to kill him. But he has so many outrageous storylines on that. It's R-rated Seinfeld, basically.
No, it is great. It is good.
But his character is just the worst person on earth.
It's so benign. He's just doing something, and all of a sudden, it's some really stupid scenario. You're and it's an old episode.
Yeah.
And I just.
Well, end of that last season was he was battling with Michael J. Fox, and Michael J. Fox was using his Parkinson's to get away with shit. He's like, this is my Parkinson's. So it was funny. There's just been so many great things on there. It's just, yeah. I love that show.
It's a little it's kind of an inside baseball.
It took me 20 something years before I finally started. I just never had HBO. I would rent Game of Thrones on Netflix, and then and then I would just ignore everything else on HBO.
Game of Thrones, the CDs, the DVDs coming to your house.
Yeah, DVDs literally coming to my house.
Oh wow.
Okay, and then
one last show.
So there's this new show called Paradise, which is also on Hulu. It's a direct-to-Hulu show.
Okay.
And it's by one of the same producers that did Only Murders in the Building, and apparently This Is Us. And it's about this, Secret Service agent that's guarding this, it was literally on your screen a second ago. The Secret Service agent is guarding this, James Marsden was the president. And then, something happens, and, the very first episode, the president gets killed, but it's, after he was the president, he's, the guy's just guarding him in some house, retirement house.
Okay.
And he gets killed. And then it's a really cool twist to the first end of the first episode. I don't want to spoil it. because like it's a really cool twist. So it's like a murder mystery, but it's got like a weird sci-fi twist to it.
There's only three episodes out right now. Far. Yeah.
The first one dropped on the weekend. Two of them dropped.
February 3rd. It's also Monday. And the yeah. episode drops, right?
It's supposed to be like a 15 episode TV
oh,
show.
Oh, nice. Apparently. Nice, nice.
A little bit more than most.
And shows. Who's this woman who plays the.
I do not know the woman. I know that the Sterling K. Brown is like the main character. He's like a pretty well-known actor. And James Marsden plays the president. Which dies in the first episode, but there's a lot of flashbacks.
What?
No, that's
spoilers.
That's in the trailer. It's literally in the trailer.
Julianne Nicholson looks at.
He literally dies in the trailer, so it's not giving anything away. But the story is, it's kind of like, just wait till the end of the first episode, and you're like, oh wow, that's like there's more to this than I thought.
So you're always about the new shows, Brad.
New shows. Curb Your Enthusiasm is not new.
No, okay, no, that's true. That's true.
Let's go back quite a bit.
But like seriously, one of the shows I've been watching. I finished the first two seasons.
Yes.
Is makes me laugh funny because you go you're all like this new show. I watched Tulsa Kings.
Well, it's not old.
Yeah, you know, so there's like two seasons, and
I've only seen one episode randomly because it came on after something.
Yeah,
that also I was watching. It was the season finale of season one, which actually was pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm not a gangster guy. I'm not normally into mob stuff.
You know what? I'm not into mob stuff. But Sylvester Stallone is a mobster.
Yeah.
Who does 25 years for a crime he didn't do. Yeah. For the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but like nobody does that. So he gets out and now he's like, oh, looking for his, like, this is what I did for you. What are you going to do for me?
Yeah.
And they go like, okay, you can have Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah. And they go, what the fuck's Tulsa? I go, 25 years, I get Tulsa? And then, but he goes there and he starts doing his mobster thing. And it's
so how much of it have you seen? Are you?
I watched the first two seasons. Okay. I loved it, and so, I'm like, I can't believe I like this. So good.
Like I said, I'm not into gangsters. I'm not like huge into like Goodfellas or those type of Martin Scorsese movies. Basically,
right,
I'm not a big Martin Scorsese guy.
Exactly.
But I watched the season finale of that season one where they have like they go into his bar and there's like the whole shootout and stuff.
Oh yeah,
That was movie quality.
It is so
that was like better than like a Roadhouse type thing.
It is so good. I mean, it's a little bit dramatic.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously,
but it's got
Dana Delaney.
Yeah,
and it's got Sylvester Stallone, and then I mean, it's got again. I'm not a name guy. These are my two.
It's so funny because every time we watch a TV show, it'll be like, who's that person? I've seen them in something before.
I don't know.
We're just like IMDb. And
every time.
I can't get through a single show without IMDbing somebody.
And I'm always going, Alexa, how old is that person?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can hear that, but my Alexa in the room
just randomly told us who the oldest person in the world was.
And I didn't even hear who it was. Alexa, repeat. Alexa, repeat.
Sorry, there is nothing to repeat.
You're worthless.
So that was my... Alexa, how old is Dana Delaney?
Dana Delaney is 68 years old.
Good Lord.
She looks amazing
how
in the show.
She's 68?
I have no idea. Like, we're talking like China Beach. China Beach, right?
I'm thinking about East of Eden.
Oh, my gosh.
So, East of Eden?
She was so good.
With, like, the Dominatrix Island?
What's
look up East of Eden.
Okay, I'm going to have to look that up. But, that's why I'm always asking how old are these actors? Because, they look so amazing. I don't know. The adrenochrome's working well.
Well, it's so funny because remember we did the whole thing about the... When Paul Rudd got as old as Wilford Brimley was in Cocoon.
Oh my God! Yes, he's like,
it's not just them. It's like if you look at like the age of what the Golden Girls were when they did the Golden Girls, they're like the age of like Jennifer Aniston,
right?
And J Lo are now. It's like they didn't look like Jennifer Aniston and J Lo back then. Like what was? Like I don't know what these celebrities are doing, because the rest of us don't look as good.
No, we don't. We don't look like that.
I look more like Larry David now than anything else.
You know what? That's fine. But the other one, actually, I didn't, seriously, so let's just go back.
But that's not old. You're like, oh, Brad, you're watching all these new shows. Tulsa, I mean, it's only been around 2 years.
It's only been a couple of years.
That was a super popular. It was a Paramount Plus at first only.
It is Paramount Plus.
But then they started running. It was so popular, they started running it on CBS.
Okay. But the other one that I've just started watching, and this is one that I'm watching with Lori. And so the shows come she falls asleep and she has to rewatch them. Yeah. And it's a pain in the ass watching shows with your wife. I'm going to be telling you. But it's the Kathy Bates in Matlock.
Oh.
Even I'm lucky.
No, my problem is just do a show with Kathy Bates as that type of character. But don't slap I don't like when they just slap the name of an old show on it.
Exactly. That
bugged me. Like that, just from the trailers, I'm like, oh, don't call her Matt. Don't say it's Matlock.
Yeah. And then
be like, you know, some new show with Kathy Bates.
Right.
Everybody wants to use like an established IP.
Yeah, exactly.
Which brings up, wait, have you seen, you're a Star Trek fan.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, hold on. Go ahead.
Have you seen the brand new Star Trek
Section 13
movie? Yeah, Section 31.
31.
Yes.
I just started it. Oh. I haven't watched it. I'm like, I can't believe that they made that into that's a movie.
There is nothing.
I love Michelle Yao.
Yeah, she just won an Oscar.
She's amazing.
Yes, and I think that they're not going to do a show because she's now too famous.
Everything, and then you know whatever.
Yeah, always.
That movie was amazing.
Yeah,
but because of that movie, she's been in. She's
well,
just,
and because of that movie, Short Round is now like hot.
Oh my gosh, Short Round has a new movie or show.
He has an action movie coming out.
Oh my gosh, I'm like, oh, is that Jackie Chan? No, it's fucking Short Round. What is going on?
They're not going to do this. They're not going to do this, but I would so watch the shit out of a Short Round series on Disney Plus.
Oh my gosh.
Following in the footsteps of Indiana Jones. Short Round. Because he knows Kung Fu. Like, he actually taught choreography for, like, karate scenes in movies. After he stopped acting, he was a choreographer.
Again, this is our thing. What's his name?
Ki Kwan. That's part of his name.
Okay.
I got two of the three.
Good. So
Ki Kwan or something.
It's so bad.
No, but he's Ki Kwan.
He's Ki Kwan.
He's Short Round.
He will always be Short Round. But I saw. I'm like, Short Round's in a freaking movie.
Yes.
What the hell?
No, it looks cool. I wanted to see it.
It looks great.
Yeah, it's like it's one of those stories where like he stopped being a spy for a long time and then he gets dragged back into it. Which there's like thousands of those. I just watched a really bad one with Cameron Diaz and Jamie Foxx.
Oh my gosh! I liked it.
You liked it? Kim liked it, too.
I liked it a lot.
I thought it was...
I really love seeing Cameron Diaz again.
I love seeing Cameron Diaz again. I don't...
Jamie Foxx was not...
Jamie Foxx. Anybody else?
Anybody else was Jamie Foxx.
I'm not a Jamie Foxx fan.
No.
I didn't like the ending.
It's like he didn't even try.
I felt like the ending kind of fell flat. I felt like it was really good. I loved it when they went to like find their daughter at the club and ended up beating people up. That was great.
Oh, that was so good.
But it was very similar to a movie that came out like a year and a half ago with Mark Wahlberg, where he was like a ex-assassin that was like living with his family and then all of a sudden got dragged back into it. His whole family got involved. They're doing a sequel to it already. It's like some Amazon or Netflix movie.
No. He wasn't. He got dragged in. It was the Union.
Yeah.
I watched that too. That was good. That was
not
really
the
good.
Union. No. It's not the Union. It's something else. I'll look it up afterwards. I'll send you what it was.
The Union was good.
It was the Family Man or something
like that. The Union
was
good.
Anyway, so this was some movie where he was like an ex-assassin that all of a sudden got rediscovered and people were trying to kill him again and he had a family now and he was like trying to get his daughter into college and dragging the family along on this, you know, adventure.
Wow.
And it was literally almost the same plot as this Cameron Diaz movie. But I loved Cameron in it. I love seeing her kick ass.
I love seeing her.
She's great.
That's like her first thing back.
Speaking of.
She's so good.
We call this the Tangent Podcast.
This is so good.
So we'll get back to where we were. I just recently watched The Holiday for the first time. Speaking of Jude Law and Cameron Diaz, I'd never seen The Holiday. Have you ever seen The Holiday?
No, I've not seen
romantic comedies. You
I
like
do.
The Holiday.
The Holiday.
Oh, Jack Black's in it, too. He's a negative mark for me. But so
did you,
so,
did you see? Hold on. Jack, did you see that horse shit movie that
Evil Santa? No.
Evil? What the fuck was that? I'm like, dude, Jack Black. Stop. Every movie doesn't need to be made.
Yes.
Stop with that shit.
Only thing I've ever liked Jack Black in was the Jumanji movies. I thought he was good.
No, dude. School of Rock. He was incredible in that. Oh, my God. It's so good.
Two of the worst movies I've ever seen were Jack Black movies. One of them was Envy. It was a movie called Envy where he invents some thing that makes dog poop invisible or something. It was like one of the worst movies I've ever watched.
That's actually pretty funny.
It sounds nice, but
yeah.
No. Anyway, we're so far off the track. So the Holiday. Watch it.
It's a
Christmas movie. It's basically, I can't remember who the other girl is. She's not as cute as Cameron Diaz.
Oh, man.
Who is it? Oh, shit. Look up the holiday.
The holiday.
The holiday.
This is welcome to the section
where anyway, so, stuff while you're doing it, the story is basically these two girls switch up houses. They're both having like difficulties in their life, and they decide to like swap houses for the holidays.
Kate Winslet.
Yeah, Kate Winslet. Okay.
And Cameron Diaz.
So Cameron Diaz goes to live in Kate Winslet's house in
Jude Law and Jack
Black. England. And Jude Law is like the romantic love interest of Cameron Diaz. And like they're just like great together. Unfortunately, Kate Winslet gets saddled with Jack Black to her dismay. Like she got the short end of the stick on that contract. But the movies are actually really good. It's a really good romantic comedy. And it's like, you know, whatever. They switch houses and they both fall in love and whatever. It's really cool. I've never seen it. It was super good. It's on one of the streaming services.
You can watch The Holiday. You can rent it on Amazon. Otherwise, I don't know. So
you don't have to rent it. I watched it for free.
Yeah.
If you have to rent things, I don't do it. But.
I don't do it. I'm not. But you know, holy shit. I'm in bed. I'm like sick, right? Yeah. I'm like, you know, I've got the cough, you know, the sore throat thing that everybody's got, right?
Oh, my God.
It's a couple weeks ago, right? And I'm in bed, and all of a sudden, there's ding on my phone. My fucking family's rented Wicked for $30.
$30?
Purchased it. I'm like, what the hell? And they're watching it without me. I hear like the subwoofers on the sound bar and this and they're going nuts downstairs. I'm like, what's going on?
So when you rent it, you get like a window where you can watch.
So
it multiple times?
They purchased it.
Okay.
So I
have it now.
So
you,
like
you can see it.
And so a couple days later, I'm like up at like 3 o'clock in the morning because like 4 o'clock in the morning because the promethazine like wore off. I'm like, I'm up because I'm coughing, right?
Yeah. Oh God!
I'm watching Wicked on the couch in the middle, you know, at from four to 6:30, right? And then I'm going to work, right? Yeah. So it was horrible. But part one, what the shit is
part
that?
One, yes. Well, because they know
the shit.
They know
is
how popular
one.
The play is.
Right?
They're like, oh, we need to direct. This is the problem with a lot of movies. We're way off the tangent. I'll get back to section 31 at some point because we went off this way over tangent.
Right.
Out
there.
But no, this is what they do. Like, this is what they did when they made The Hobbit. Okay, so they made the Lord of the Rings trilogy, right?
Right.
Those are big books, right? They're much bigger than The Hobbit.
Right. A 74-page
mini novel. The Hobbit is like a short book. It's like a short children's book. And each of the movies, each of the things after that are kind of bigger books.
Yeah.
So they made, you know, the three Lord of the Rings movies. And they're like, okay, well, we need to keep this going because these movies made a shit ton of money. They won Oscars and everything.
Yeah.
So they make The Hobbit. They're like, okay, so let's turn this really short book into three movies.
74 pages, novelette.
We did the
three
actual
movies.
Thick novels. We did a movie each on those. We'll take this book that's half the size of one of those books, and we're going to stretch it out into three movies. They still made it pretty decent. I mean, it was still good, but it wasn't as good as the first three because they stretched out a story that was not meant to be three movies.
Yeah.
They do the final Harry Potter one, like, oh shit,
we ran
out of books.
The first one, camping.
Yeah.
Second one, finding.
The part two, part one, the single worst of the Harry Potter movies. It was talking next to a campfire for like 2 hours.
It was camping.
Yes, camping for 2 hours.
Yeah.
The final one was pretty exciting.
It was
because it was the final act of one book.
Yeah, that's one of the
But they do
jokes.
That now. They used to do that. Like, they get a thing and they go, let's split it. The final, like, there wasn't that, they didn't do that with The Hunger Games or something too. They split the final book into two movies. They have these things that are like have a set destination, and they're like, we make too much money off this to end. So we're gonna take. We only got one book left. Let's split it into two movies, and it doesn't work.
Yeah,
it never works. Anyway, Section 31. So you haven't seen it yet.
I started it.
I saw
that like the young Michelle Yeoh. And then she's older, and then I'm like, I didn't have time to watch it. Yeah. I was just like, oh my gosh, a new Star Wars thing? And so I checked it out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, I want to watch it. But I did.
So
I added it to my list of things to watch.
I'm a completist, so like I'm not a huge Star Trek fan in general.
Yeah.
I love the original series. I've loved some of the other movies, you know, randomly. Like Wrath of Khan was amazing. Certain, you know, it's like every couple movies they do.
1983 was a great year for Star Trek.
Yeah. So anyway, I like certain episodes. I wasn't big into Star Trek Generation, which you were, but I remember loving the Q episodes. Every time there was a Q episode, I'm like, oh, Q's. I love
good.
Q.
I've got my
yeah
all seven seasons yeah. of Star Trek right there.
So anyway, but I'm like, oh, I've seen every one at some point. I didn't see them all in the theater. I eventually get around to seeing this. If it's a Star Trek movie, I'll eventually get around to seeing it. It's all on Paramount Plus. I'm like, oh, there's a brand new thing. I got to check it out. I remember seeing the trailer and people going like, oh, it doesn't really look like Star Trek. There's like no Star Trek. Other than, look at the poster. Here, I'm going to show you the poster.
I didn't know it was a Star Trek movie until I started watching it.
Yes. That's because...
I'm like, oh, Section 31. It's a new sci-fi movie. And then all of a sudden, they're talking about Starfleet. I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay,
what's going on? Yeah, it's Michelle Yao.
It says
Yo.
Section 31.
Uh-huh.
And in very, very, very tiny writing on the top, it says Star Trek.
Yeah.
So that's about as much Star Trek as in this Star Trek movie. So they have a Vulcan, but it's not really a Vulcan. It's a robot Vulcan with a little tiny guy driving him like something from Men in Black.
Oh, like it's a little man inside.
Yes, they have. Okay, did you watch the TV show After Party? It was kind of
yes.
That was actually really good. Season one was good. Season two was shit.
Yeah.
Season one was good because it was like so many shows are like super good for one season, but they really only wrote one season, and then somebody goes, "Oh, you got renewed," and we go, "Oh, I guess
what am I gonna do now?"
I had so many examples. We could do a whole show on shows that were great for one season and then had no second season.
Yeah.
That could be a topic for our next one.
Yeah.
No, seriously, let's make that a topic for our next
one. Okay.
So After Party has...
Put it in the Google Doc.
So the funny black guy, Sam Richardson or something, he was like the funny, like the main character from, one of the main characters from After Party.
The black dude.
Yes, he plays this shape-shifting character
he's
on this show.
Yeah.
So there's this guy who pilots a fake Vulcan that does a really bad Scottish accent. They've got some guy dressed up like he's a half mechanical man. I'm watching this show going... Is this a parody? Oh, I guess it's not a parody. I'm thinking it's a parody of Star Trek at first. It feels like a parody.
Okay.
But they're trying to be super serious. They're trying to stop some world-ending, you know, bomb or whatever. It was just...
It's watchable. Spoilers!
It's watchable.
Okay.
But it's just... Like, it's like somebody sent in a spec script to Paramount, and Paramount said, you know what?
Sure, we'll make
That's
it.
That's a cool sci-fi idea. Let's just slap up Star Trek things on it.
Star Trek on it.
And if you look at the reviews from Star Trek fans, it's getting panned to hell online. Like, people hate this movie.
Sure.
Like,
well,
it's the
I
worst thing
that.
Star Trek's ever done.
Of course.
So watch it. You have to watch it.
I will.
You will be like, oh, yeah. It basically feels like a failed TV pilot. It's like they put two episodes of a TV show together that weren't very good and said, okay, this TV show's not getting picked up because it sucks, but let's just... We spent a shitload of money on... They spent money on special effects.
Right.
This would be like... If you didn't put the money on special effects, this would be like a really bad sci-fi TV movie.
Okay.
You know those movies that you used to put on sci-fi?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Horrible. It's like, you know, Aliens versus Hunters. It's supposed to be like Aliens versus Predators, but they don't have the rights to Aliens versus Predators, so it's like... You know, Space Aliens versus Hunters. And it's like a 1 out of 10.
Yes.
That's basically like, you know, just random slop. But we'll put $100 million into it.
Right. And we'll hire like the actress of like, you know, this year.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, Michelle Yeoh's character had been on Discovery or whatever. So she was on Discovery.
Oh, Discovery?
This is the character from Discovery that got killed off. And then they brought in a version of her from a mirror universe.
Oh.
Which is basically like a cannibalistic Hitler who now you're supposed to like feel for because she's a part of this group.
Okay.
It's like a Suicide Squad.
We're getting two in the weeds.
Yeah, two in the weeds.
Two in the weeds.
Watch it and tell me how much you hate it next time.
Brad, we are 125 into this.
Okay.
And it only proves we need to do this
more often. Yes.
So
yeah, it's hard to recap 6 months worth of television watching.
Exactly. So it's January 2025, February coming up.
But I want to suggest a partial thing for our next thing will be shows that had really good season ones, but they were really only written as like a concept for one season.
Oh yeah.
Somebody had a really good concept for one season. They're like, "Oh, but we're going to renew you," and they go, "Okay, I guess we'll write a season two."
Put it in the Google Doc.
Google Doc. I don't know how to Google. Sorry, the pina colada's kicking in. I don't know how to Google Doc.
That's a Google Doc.
I can make AI songs and artwork, but I don't know how to Google Doc.
I don't know how to Google Doc. So,
I'll send you an Excel spreadsheet or an email.
So check out. I'm going to try to get. You've sent me some things on the I'm going to post a bunch of this, the AI stuff, yes, on the show notes.
There you go.
At superfantasticterrific.com. And, no, yeah, check out, and then the Suno stuff, you gotta check it out, cause it is quite good.
No, and I am gonna eventually do the thing where you put it on Spotify, but it basically said you have to use like another third party service to put your thing on.
You gotta put some money in.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate part.
But I know that I'm not making any money, but like, worst case scenario, I'm digging my own songs. I'm like, no, good.
No. I am digging your songs too.
The Release Kraken was
so like Release
amazing.
The Kraken and that Revenge of the Tiki's.
Yeah,
both bangers.
I need to put the Release the Kraken on this on the Tiki Oasis Facebook page.
No,
because it sums up the experience of Tiki Oasis.
And then, hold on, we get this elusive freaking Wanger character.
Yes.
And we put together a band. We play Tiki Oasis. Yes. As the Pineapple Man.
As the Pineapple Man. Singing.
Singing.
AI songs that I wrote.
AI songs you wrote in like.
Wearing pineapple heads.
From 10 years ago. Yes. Wearing exactly.
That's my dream.
It's my dream now too.
But no, but how cool was that though? Like I came up, I'm like, oh my God, I can make this fake fictional band. And so I make this fake fictional band thinking, okay, but they're never going to have any music. So I'm just like, I make them and I'm playing like random surf songs from somebody else. And then all of a sudden Russell sends me this thing and I'm like, oh, I can make my own fucking songs.
I can make my own songs?
I can make my own songs.
That's not, what?
Yeah. So like, anyway, I'm like, because I wrote the stuff, so I'm digging it. I'm just like, oh, that came out way better than like it's written even.
Absolutely.
And again, some of the songs don't sound, you know, songy enough because they're basically just converted poems. But it's called sound poems. We released the Kraken. Like
Release the Kraken has to be that's the single.
Yeah,
that's the single. And then
let me tell you my playlist for Pineapple Man real quick. This is the last thing, and then we will shut this off. I just got to get into the now it's all different. Oh, here, library songs. Where do you find your playlist?
It is late.
I surf at Volcano Bay. The Pineapple Man returns. Ode to a Headless Zombie, Hot Lava, Red Hot Lava, and Revenge of the Tiki. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Six songs
on the Pineapple Man playlist. So those are all surf songs related to something tiki related.
Tiki related.
Yes. Ode to a Zombie is less tiki related, but it's pretty funny. And it's got the picture of the Pineapple Man.
No, it doesn't. It has a picture of you as Indiana Jones.
With a weird bear creature behind
it. And so I agree with your wife. You got to stop that shit. So I'm going to leave us here with Release the Kraken at the end of this. And Brad, pleasure. Let's do it again in February.
Definitely. We got to get Andy to show up.
And more cocktails.
Because he was totally like, I just want to get out of the house, man. I need to get out of the house. And then he didn't show up. But I thought it was tomorrow. I had it on my calendar for the 30th.
Oh.
I totally did. And then you sent the thing saying, tonight's the night. And I'm all, okay, I'm available.
Go good.
And then you said, oh, my shit doesn't work, but I got my ties. And I'm all like, okay.
All right. Hey, check out the show notes at superfantasticterrific.com and enjoy Release the Kraken.
Its tentacles, setting fire to the drunken fool. It climbed up the side of every pool view room, sending people jumping off balconies to their doom, rampaging its way all over the hotel, sending drunken guests running out of tiki hell. It grabbed up every single burlesque girl, shaking them around in a big whirl as it crawled up the elevator faster and faster, making its way towards the swank bastards. So beware and take heed when drinking your rum. I know everybody wants to have a little fun. So late at night when bears roam the halls and you start to hear fireball and new strange and frightening calls, you may want to lock your doors before you release the Kraken. Because believe it or not, it may actually happen.